through Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM at KCSU Fort Collins for Thursday, April 25th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I am Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director. And we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, CSU has been holding events in the spirit of the year's theme of democracy, and now some protesters have been speaking up with their focus on democracy and war.
And a bank robbery in Fort Collins occurred recently, and Lee will tell you more in local news.
Then, if you missed FOCO MX, you'll still get a recap and a rundown of some other events you can go to over the weekend.
Later on in the broadcast, there could be a potential ban on the popular social media app TikTok in the United States. More with Lee in national news. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. On Monday of this week, CSU saw two well-known senators on campus for an event called Building Bridges. The event was a part of the university's Year of Democracy. However, the event did not go as planned, with there being several interruptions. The two senators were Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner, who planned to come to the university to sit down with Amy Parsons in front of a crowd to discuss how to get along and promote cooperative political discussions to benefit democracy. Shortly after the event began, protesters in the crowd began to yell at the senators and CSU President Amy Parsons. Protesters demanded that Bennett, quote, no longer be complicit in genocide. Other statements from the protesters include calling out Bennett for speaking about democracy at CSU while he, quote, ignored Jewish voices. Other topics the crowd touched on were misuse of tax dollars in the funding of the Israel-Hamas war. The crowd then began to chant ceasefire now and were soon escorted out of the event. The senators and CSU president then began the event uninterrupted and spoke on many issues such as the war in Ukraine and the social media app TikTok and its impact on politics in the United States. Overall, the senators agreed that the best way for democracy to flourish is for both sides of political parties to work together despite their differences. A feminist scholar visited CSU last week to come and speak to students on disability and reproductive issues. Allison Kafer came to campus on Thursday, April 18th. Kafer is a professor and director of LGBTQIA plus studies at the University of Texas and spoke to students on topics that many college campuses are thinking deeply about. Kafer spoke on how people with disabilities are harmed by abortion policies and advocated for students to support their local abortion fund. Contributions for these stories come from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. That will do it for your campus news. Coming up now is Lee with your local news. Learn more about a bank robbery in Fort Collins right now.
In local news, if you noticed some heavy police presence near LeMay and Swallow yesterday, they were responding to a bank robbery. Today, Fort Collins police are still investigating the robbery, which happened yesterday afternoon. In a press release, police say the robbery happened at Security Service Federal Credit Union, and they got called to the bank around 3 in the afternoon. For now, no injuries have been reported, but police are asking the Fort Collins community for help in finding the robber. Officials described the suspect as a white male in either his 20s or 30s. He's about 6 feet tall and has a medium build. In the release, police also included a photo of the suspect during the robbery. The man's face is covered, but in case anyone can somehow recognize him, that photo is available to see online through the official City of Fort Collins website, which is fcgov.com. From there, you can find a whole list of Fort Collins police releases if you want more information. If you happen to have any tips, authorities are asking those with information to reach out to Fort Collins police directly. As the investigation continues and more is found out over time, police say they will keep the community updated through press releases. Camping in some parts of the Rocky Mountain National Park might be a little more expensive in the future. The park is proposing an overnight fee increase across its four campgrounds, those being Moraine Park, Glacier Basin, Aspen Glen, and Timber Creek. Each campground will have their overnight fees upped by $10 each. The park says the price hike is to help fund some new electrical sites that are under construction at the Moraine campground. Moraine Park has been closed since May last year for major major renovations, but the park says they're expecting to reopen it early this summer. For now, reservations are still not being accepted, but once a solid reopening date is set, the park will then let people save a camping spot. Some other reasons for the increase is to fund some other general projects throughout the park, like hazardous tree removal, campground improvements across the board, hiking trail repairs, and bear management. If the price hike is approved, you can expect to see those changes next year. So this summer, you'll be seeing your usual campground prices. One campsite will be left out of the price increase, though. That'll be the Long's Peak Campground, which is first come, first serve. If you want to have a say about the proposed fee changes, you'll have until late next month to submit any ideas to the park online at parkplanning.nps.gov. That'll wrap up local news for now. My name is Lee Zimpel. Coming up after the break, Tyler will give you a recap of FOCO MX and more for Life and Events when we come back.
Pizza is a proud supporter of KCSU. Located on West Elizabeth Road in Fort Collins, Cosmos Pizza offers catering and indoor dining options open 11 a.m. to midnight Monday through Thursday and late nights on Fridays and Saturdays. Delivery is available all hours of operation. For more information about their menu and ordering options, visit cosmospizza.com.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with Life and Events for the Fort Collins area. A music festival took place in Fort Collins last weekend, bringing in many bands and fans to enjoy their music. FOCO MX is a two-day festival that has been a staple for Fort Collins for over 15 years. The festival showcased local favorite artists and lesser-known artists to allow them a moment to shine. While the festival usually is in Aggie Theater, this year it was able to spread out to a few different venues in the city. The event is in the springtime here in Fort Collins, so even if you missed it this year, there's always 2025. Story comes from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. A week in Fort Collins will be filled with paint and creatives and will offer a great opportunity for anyone trying to get that creative itch scratched. Art Week in Fort Collins kicks off May 3rd, and the week invites artists to come together in downtown Fort Collins for many events such as an art walk, workshops, public art tours, and more. This Art Week will last from May 3rd until May 12th, and this story comes from the Cheyenne Post. For some music in the area, tonight at Moby Arena is the Grammy-nominated artist Midland. The country band will be performing here on campus for the long-standing tradition of Ramfest. Opening for them is the band Sugar Britches, who play first, and the doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets are available to students, employees, and the general public. Tomorrow night to kick off the weekend is Caroline Rose. Rose is a singer-songwriter who plays folk and Americana music, as well as more alternative and indie styles. Her concert Friday night will be at the Aggie Theater in Fort Collins starting at 7 p.m. And more music this weekend will include a concert Saturday night at the Aggie Theater with Olive Klug playing. Joining Klug will be June Henry. Klug plays folk music and is described as having a beautiful tone. Klug has seen recent success selling out venues and has now made their way to the Fort Collins area. You can catch that concert on Saturday night starting at 8 p.m. at the Aggie. That's it for Life and Events. My name is Tyler Weatherwax. Stick around after the break to get your national news with Lee, who's going to be looking into the potential ban of TikTok in the United States right after the break.
This is DJ Alchemy speaking to you, dear listener. My show, The Witching Hour, is up next on KCSU. I've got a wide variety of topics lined up to talk about, including CSU sports and pop culture, so stay tuned.
Welcome back from the break. My name is Lee Zimpel, and these are some of the latest headlines making national news. The FCC is bringing back net neutrality, and that means that internet providers no longer have the power to control how fast or slow Wi-Fi is for their customers. The vote to restore net neutrality happened earlier today, and the regulations it's bringing back have been on the shelf since the policy was thrown out during the Trump administration in 2017. The FCC first passed net neutrality in 2015 in order to make sure more people in the U.S. could have access to high-speed internet. In 2017, then FCC Chair Ajit Pai tossed the policy out. Those who are against net neutrality say the rules are government overstep in how internet companies can run their business, but those in favor of the regulations say it's necessary to make sure the web is equally accessible. Advocates for consumers were cheering the return of net neutrality today. A group called Fight for the Future says the return is a win for those who call for equal treatment of customers from internet providers. The return of net neutrality means more than just banning companies' control of internet speeds for different customers. Companies now also will not be able to charge additional fees for faster web speeds. Fight for the Future director Evan Greer says that people across political parties, for the most part, agree that they don't want companies to control how they use the internet. Greer said, quote, "We are thrilled that the FCC is finally reclaiming its responsibility to protect consumers from the worst harms of big telecom." On the other hand, some internet companies are not excited about the return of net neutrality. The company U.S. Telecom voiced disapproval of the FCC's vote, saying net neutrality is not an issue that impacts customers and that the internet has been open and accessible for decades. Some Republican FCC commissioners also share that viewpoint, saying that the internet in the U.S. has thrived without government regulation for a long time. However, the people up top feel about net neutrality's return. One thing is clear, though, the regulations do hope to put customers first when it comes to accessing the internet. Contributions to this story comes from CBS News. And lastly, TikTok could soon be facing a ban from the U.S. unless they agree to sell it. This week, President Biden signed a bill that gives the tech company about a year to either divest from its Chinese owner or face a nationwide ban. TikTok says they want to fight the new bill, and the current CEO, Shou Chu, says that he and the company expect to survive the threat of a ban without needing to actually sell anything. The last time TikTok faced the possibility of a ban, it was from Montana, and that effort was blocked by a federal judge. If TikTok does end up needing to sell, though, it'll likely sell very easily. According to CBS News, TikTok is a social media service that's used by over half of Americans under the age of 30. It's a valuable thing to own, with experts estimating it could be worth about $100 billion. If TikTok does need to sell, some likely buyers could be Microsoft, Oracle, and even Walmart. For now, it's not entirely clear what TikTok's fate could be, but experts agree the chance for TikTok being sold by next year is a fair possibility. That'll wrap up your national news for now. Information for both of these updates is based on reporting from CBS News. We'll take a break, and when we come back, Caleb Allen will deliver the CSU Sports Report. We'll be right back.
KCSU does not only provide excellent content for your airwaves, but it also provides excellent content for your internet. Go to kcsufm.com for KCSU's latest in-studio performances, podcasts, album reviews, sports wrap-ups, and more. Go ahead and bookmark it. kcsufm.com.
My name is Caleb Allen. I'm the sports director here at KCSU, and this is what's going on this week in sports. CSU Track and Field returns home this week for the Doug Max Invitational that will take place on the Jack Christensen Track. The meet is set to start at 10 a.m. CSU softball extended their winning streak to 7 with their wins over San Jose State on Sunday. Both wins came by run rule as the Rams outscored the Spartans 30-0 in their matchups. Senior second baseman Peyton Allen was named NCAA Softball Player of the Week after going 4-for-4 and reaching base on every at-bat on the weekend. The Rams hit the road this weekend for one final series away from home against Fresno State. CSU Women's Golf was announced as one of 12 teams to make it to the Las Vegas Regional for the NCAA Championships. The team has posted program best in team wins and individual wins for a season this year, earning them their fifth NCAA bid. They will compete against the other 11 teams in the region from May 6th until May 8th. The top five teams from each region will advance to the NCAA Championships that take place May 17th through May 22nd. CSU Tennis defeated Air Force in the first round of the Mountain West Championships on Wednesday 4-0. The Rams won all three doubles contest to pick up the doubles point to begin the match. Zara Lennon and Rodka Buskova both picked up a point at the top two courts, while Victoria Jadinskaya earned the match-clinching point at number six singles. With the win, the Rams will compete against Wyoming Thursday afternoon for a chance to make it to the Mountain West semifinal. The Mountain West also announced its all-Mountain West honors ahead of the tournament start. Zara Lennon, Rodka Buskova both landed honors for their performances in singles this season, while the pairing of Buskova and Vika Jadinskaya were awarded with doubles honors. CSU Volleyball announced their 2024 schedule on Wednesday. The schedule includes 16 home matches with one exhibition home match. The first six matches of the season will be held at home. Some of the notable programs the Rams will be playing this upcoming season include Florida and Oregon, both of which will be played in Moby Arena. The season starts August 24th with an exhibition match against Creighton. The Rams will then play their first match of the season against Florida on August 30th with a whiteout theme. I'm Caleb Allen. This is what's going on this weekend in sports.
And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We would also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.